All right. So we're moving on to the personnel portion of the budget.
Stephen Rotondo, Personnel Director. There are, in our budget, there are no new positions. There are no increases beyond steps and contractual. You'll see that the budget actually is, the total budget request is a little bit lower than last year. That
posed, can you make sure to speak into the mic? My apologies.
That the budget request is a little bit lower than last year. That owes largely to a reduction in temporary services and our request for temporary services. I do want to point out one slight error. If you look at 15140 temporary services, the year-to-date spend and the projected is nothing there. In fact, we have spent about 1600 1700. We anticipate spending a little bit more, so, and that was incorrectly expensed over to the salaries line. So we did use some temporary services this year.
And just so I'm clear, did you say that the money that was supposed to be included there was instead included in salaries, or no?
I'm sorry, what?
Did you say that the money that was supposed to appear in 15-140 instead appears in 15-101, or did I mishear that?
Yes, that was expensed up to salaries. It should have been in temporary services.
All right, does anyone have any questions for personnel? Councilman Lattiser. This appears on page 10 for those looking.
Director, in your in the personnel supplement, you're showing, and you may have said it, but I couldn't understand you or hear you. You're showing new positions, a new job code, number 221. 499 and 222. What are those, or what is the reason for changing those job codes?
There are no new positions. We did change the deputy, which, can you go through those again, please?
Number 427, that's a new code for this year. It's a deputy personnel director.
Correct. That last year was the HR services supervisor. That's a change in title only. And so we put the new code on it. It's a change in title. That was deputy personnel director was a title that we weren't using, but that person, for all practical purposes, is the director. When I'm not there, she takes on my role. And so there's no change in her salary other than the contractual. But we did reanimate that title, deputy personnel director, which is pay code 427.
And you have a new position, job code 499, pension administrator. What is that new position?
The pension administrator isn't new for this fiscal year. It was in the last fiscal year. It was in this current fiscal year's budget. That was the new position that was put into the budget for the current fiscal year. That was there last year. Or I should say it was in the last personnel supplement. And last year, Councilman, it didn't have a job code assigned to it yet. So if you looked at the last year's supplement, it was blank. And
I'm looking at last year's personnel supplement right now, and I don't see a job description for 499.
If you look at the bottom, you'll see pension administrator. So you go down that roster of jobs before you get to overtime. There's a pension administrator. There's no...
Okay.
That was new, so that was in the budget. That's not new this year.
Just didn't show a budget code.
Yeah.
in my book, there is no budget code. It's got a number of position one, but there is no budget code, and it's got a salary of $76,000.
Correct. Correct.
So that's should have been budget code 499.
Yes.
Okay. And the last one is 222, human resource generalist. What is that position? Is that just a new code because it's got a different title, or is that a new position at a higher salary?
No, it's a slightly revised title, but I think last year we had, it was incorrectly coded as 221 last year. It's actually 222. So that was just a correction.
Okay. So last year, that human resource generalist had a salary of $44,882. This year, that position at 221 is $52,451.
Yes.
So that's almost an $8,000 difference. Are you saying that is strictly contractual?
It's also steps. It's a $7,500 difference.
The step increase was what, please?
It's a step increase. That person is going to the third step. Also, for that particular position, that is slightly overcalculated because she will not achieve the third step on July 1. It's going to come during the fiscal year. I should have subtracted out for that. So that dollar amount will be a little bit less, maybe $1,000 or $2,000 less.
Say that again.
So that position, the human resources generalist, is due for the final step increase, step three, or I believe it's his third step increase. That increase is not going to occur on July 1 because it's based on her time in the position. So it'll come in October of the new fiscal year. So that dollar amount is actually a little bit high.
The dollar amount that you have in your budget is higher than it should be?
It's a little high. It's because, like I say, her step increase will not occur on July 1.
So how much higher is it?
I'd reckon about probably 1,000. It may be as much as 2,000, but I think 1,000.
Okay, so you don't need to do it tonight, but tomorrow I'll need to get an email from you telling me exactly how much that line item is overfunded, okay?
Okay.
And this staff person we're talking about, how long has this person been employed by the city?
Well, let's see. She would have gotten an increase at 6 months. So it's been a year. So she will, this year, she'll be employed for 18 months because you get a step increase after 6 months, and that's when you go to step two, and then you get another step increase a year after that.
And I think 6 months is, what is that, a 1% increase?
No, those increases are typically more than 1%.
They're what, please?
They're typically more than 1%.
Okay, yeah, that's what I just asked. So after 6 months, it's a 1% increase. And then in 18 months, it's what?
No, it's not a 1% increase at 6 months. It's more than a 1% increase in 6 months.
How much is it?
I don't know. I don't have that
dollar. Okay, if you could let me know on that tomorrow, sure. Too. And the base salary for that position has not changed, you said?
No.
Okay. And at the bottom of your personnel supplement, you have some fund credits there, water, sewer, and pension. What are those credits for?
Those are credits expensed to those accounts by the finance department, although the one that's expensed to the pension assets, mm-hmm. the pension administrator is, that salary is funded to pension assets. So it's dollar for dollar reimbursement. The other two are set annually by the finance department.
Okay. Okay, that's all I have right now. You answered the question, I believe. You said outside of the ones we're talking about, there was no salary increases other than contractual and step increases, correct?
Contractual and, okay. Well, that was also, that one also is a step increase.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Do any other members of the council have anything for personnel? Do any members of the public have anything for personnel? Seeing none, we'll move on to employee benefits on page 42.
Again, Stephen Rotondo, personnel director. There are no personnel costs in the employee benefits budget. Our request increase this year, which is about 9.17% over the anticipated year-end costs, are driven largely by, there's an 8.62% increase in health insurance premiums. For this fiscal year, there's a 5.38% increase in dental insurance premiums for this year. And we're also accounting for higher than expected increases in terms of enrollment in police, retirees, fire, active municipal and active fire, and also an unexpected increase in the FICA.
Does anyone have any questions for employee benefits? Councilman Ricks.
Thank you. Just to clarify, the reason that line item 75-196 does not have any funding this year is because that funding is on page 44 under line item 85-196. For those looking at the OPEB trust funding over there. And yeah, I see that it appears to be a total increase in employee benefits of the amount of 2.7 million. So my question is, do we think that this trend is going to continue of, as in this budget year, approximately 2.7 million or somewhere thereabouts, give or take? Is that a trend that is likely to continue in future years?
That's very hard to predict because it will also depend largely not only on the cost increases in health insurance and you know health care, but also how our enrollment goes. What our experience is, how many claims we have, basically. I did take a look.
It might be four and a half in the trust fund.
So is that in the employee benefits, though? I thought it got moved.
That's just the trust fund. The trust fund is in a separate fund completely. The general fund in front of you funds the trust.
I only interject it because I want to make sure we stay on topic for employee benefits.
Okay.
So I'm just not sure if that is there anymore because OPEB got moved.
And 75-198, city contractual obligations. So that number, if I recall, has been in the $1 million range for a fair amount of time. And that has been reduced to 500,000. And the reasoning behind that is?
The $1 million was a reserve for the municipal and the police groups in the current fiscal year. Fire negotiations are currently ongoing, so we've reserved 500 just for the fire negotiation contract. That's set to expire on June 30th.
I'm sorry, it's what?
Their contract expires June 30th.
The fire department's contract?
Correct.
Expires June 30th?
Yep.
Okay. Yeah, we'll have a question about that when we get to the fire department. Okay. That's all I have on that one, Mr. President. Thank you.
Does anyone else have anything for employee benefits? Any members of the public have anything for employee benefits?
Ann Sheridan, could we go back to discussing Medicare and what types of employees would have Medicare?
I'm sorry, what?
What types of employees would have Medicare? I mean, Medicare typically is for a senior, for a 65 when you're...
Retirees are on Medicare. I don't think any of our active employees are on Medicare. We insure retirees, police, fire, and municipal. Those retirees, when they reach 65, would go on Medicare.
But the retiree police and fire activity is counted in their separate categories, is it not?
Yes, we have different categories for police, fire, and municipal retirees, and police, fire, and municipal active. Yes.
So I guess I'm lost. I don't still understand who in city services outside of police and fire is on Medicare.
I don't think anyone who's currently employed, actively employed, is on Medicare.
Then why do we have $1 million budgeted?
Right.
That's a mandatory deduction by the feds. It's Medicare. It's the 145 that comes off your paycheck. Comes off all our paychecks.
So that's part of your FICA?
FICA and Medicare, collectively, we just kind of call Social Security, but FICA is paid separately than Medicare. Medicare is at 1.45%. set by federal law. The employer and the employee has to pay that. So I pay it. And I hope you know I'm far from retirement.
Okay, I get it. Yeah. So, all right. So now we mentioned FICA. So a year or so plus, we had an issue where we were not charging the correct FICA.
Correct.
And I'm assuming that's been settled.
Yeah,
but what procedure is in place to ensure that doesn't happen in the future?
So this is actually something that comes under the umbrella of Treasury because we're in charge of payroll. We kind of work symbiotically. Should I talk about that? A couple years ago, we realized that we were calculating the FICA incorrectly based on the co-share on our healthcare. Right. We were doing it after, not pre. We corrected that going forward. We fixed it back for 3 years, and it's been fixed going forward. I've taken the attitude of using technology to do this better, and we've completely changed the system on the way that we do our deductions for healthcare out of payroll.
So it's part of. So it's now part of.
It is correct.
Electronic software system that's.
Our system was not set up correctly, and I had it all completely changed so that nobody else can make that mistake again.
I have one other question. Severance pay.
Yep.
So wouldn't severance pay be part of a person's salary so that if you're terminated when you leave, wouldn't you have, you know, salary that's converted from salary to severance?
There are a couple components when you leave service. There's, you know, your vacation payout, that's absolutely part of salary, but there's also a small severance amount per contract. And that calculates based on years of service.
Okay, thank you.
Yep.
Any other members of the public have anything for employee benefits? Seeing no one, we'll move on to insurance, also on page 42. Does any members of the council have any questions regarding the insurance portion of the budget? Councilman Lattiser.
Thank you. items 76, 357, 358, and 359, you're not looking to fund those items at all. And why is that?
We don't know what they're going to be. We usually budget on the flip side, the revenue that we get for those. I mean, you see the claims that come through all the time. So we've just decided, instead of budgeting for something so unpredictable, that we'd zero it out. We could have budgeted the other side a higher revenue to offset this, but
is that an additional expense that's going to come down the road?
Well, we get checks for it. So if there's a...
You what, please?
We get a check for it from our insurance company. Okay. So if a fire engine gets in an accident, we get repayment from our insurance company.
At 100%?
There's a $2,500 deductible.
For each occurrence?
Yeah.
So where would that come out of? Because we know we do have accidents that occur with the city vehicles. I mean,
it could come out of here.
It would come out of where?
It could come out of here. It depends on the situation with the accident.
But there's no money appropriated for it?
No.
So if we have five accidents, you know, that's $1,250. Where does that $1,250 come out of? Where do we pay for it?
I probably tell fire that they need to find the $2,500 in that particular case. But typically what happens is some of the work is actually done internally. So we don't actually incur the full cost.
Okay, thank you.
Councilman Napa.
Just one question to follow up on what the chairman was asking. Your line item 76327, deductible payments. Is that where we pull deductibles from if there's an accident, or is that specifically allocated to one particular department? Because the chief looked like he was nodding in consent that he was going to pay his own deductibles out of pocket, I think.
I don't think he was nodding, but you're right. Sorry, I'm getting tired. That's okay. Where we pay our deductibles from. If there's an additional expense for, say, a fire truck, that's the most expensive one we've got around here. It'll come out of there, but then we'll get a check for the rest, and the deductible goes there. You are correct.
Okay. Thank you.
Does anyone else have anything for insurance from the members of the council? To members of the public, does anyone have anything for insurance?
Jim Italiani, earlier we were talking about insurance when employees were using their own personal vehicles during the time they worked for the city or city projects. And that question was brought up by one of the two councilmen. So I think it would be a really good idea if we look and see if our insurance would cover such things.
We can do that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, and I look forward to hearing that in a couple of meetings. Thank you.
Do any other members of the public have anything for insurance? Seeing none, we can move on to council claims. That's on page 43. Do any members of the council have any questions regarding council claims? Do any members of the public have any questions regarding council claims? Seeing none, we can move on to postage. That's also on page 43. Do any members of the council have any questions regarding postage? Do any members of the public have any questions? Oh, sorry, Councilman Lattison.
On the postage for the police department, that's like kind of a negative every year. Why is that?
What page are you on? Sorry.
43.
Oh, I'm sorry. Page 43, line item 78615. Matter of fact, municipal court's the same way, and building inspection. Actually, there's a whole bunch of them all the same way.
Yeah,
Yeah, so this is actually just the way the postage was set up a long time ago. What happens is we pay our Pitney Bowes machine, and then we back charge some of the departments for the residual. In this case, you know, we're charging the police department $10,000 for them sending out their notifications. And that's why they're negative. It's just us reallocating it to those departments.
Do any other members of the council have any questions regarding postage? Do any members of the public have any questions regarding postage? Seeing none, we can move on to fixed costs on page 44. Do any members of the council have any questions regarding fixed costs? Councilman Lattiser?
On the line item 79170, it's on page 44, is workers' compensation. These numbers that you have for fiscal year 25 projected, are those audited numbers or are those just a guesstimate, projected numbers?
I don't know why that number came in there. I don't project that it's going to come up to the full 418. You can see that in the next column, we're requesting 322, which right. is a substantial reduction from year to year. And the reason is that in fiscal 25, I was estimating for some high cost workers' comp claims, and fortunately, they under-exceeded our expectations and didn't generate that amount of cost. So the 322 that you see in our request is a lot closer to where we think we're going to land at the end of fiscal 25.
So the fiscal year 2024 of 283,870, that was an actual audit number?
Right, so fiscal 23, yeah, so 268,064, that's actual 283 in fiscal 24, that's 283,870, right. And but those are the audited
Okay, and I believe we're self-funded for workers' comp?
Yes, self-funded.
Okay. And so we wouldn't have an experience mod, is that correct? It's money in, money out, whatever's left.
We are pay-go. We pay in, you know, weekly indemnities, which is the biggest cost. And then the rest of this is these are medical expenses for the most part, independent medical evaluations and other overhead costs that we incur.
Okay, thank you.
Does anyone else have any questions regarding fixed costs as far as members of the council? Do any members of the public have any questions regarding fixed costs? Seeing none, we can move on to pensions on page 44. Do any members of the council have any question regarding pensions? Councilman Lattiser?
On 85196, you're projecting for OPEB funding $944,000. Can you tell us where that 944 is coming from?
Well, the actual, remember, you passed an ordinance 3 years ago that caps a combination of pension and OPEB funding.
I can't hear you, sir.
I'm sorry. The council passed an ordinance 2 or 3 years ago that caps the funding for pensions and OPEB at 2.5% increase each year. So the actuary computed what the increase in each of the pension plans was, plus expected claims, retiree healthcare claims would be. And the figure then was approximately $1.4 million that should have gone into the OPEB trust. But since that, the mayor has negotiated with all three unions for a contribution to OPEB. So that amount will be deducted from what the actuary came up with. So that's the number was around between 1.4 and 1.5 million. And we deducted the amount that the employee would be putting in, and that leaves you at $944,000 based upon the ordinance that was passed by the council.
You deducted, what'd you say, about 400,000?
For the amount that we're estimating employees will pay.
Will pay.
Because during the year,
2% didn't kick in until police and municipal agreed to the 2%, right?
This is for
OPEB, for the 20, OPEB fund.
For 26, we've only made the change for fiscal year 26.
So how did you arrive at that, being that this is something that wasn't in effect for all of 2025?
Well,
or 2024 for that matter.
Frankly, we were 2/3 of the way through the year before the contract that had been agreed to. And it's a smaller amount because it's phased in over 3 years. So it really became, a not material contribution for the last part of the first year. So it becomes material this year, and that's, we've taken the deduction from what the city would have otherwise contribute.
So that 2%, excuse me, that became a contractual participation.
Yes.
When that actually took effect was when police and municipal agreed to do that. The 2% that is being assessed to the fire department, did that go back to the date their contract took over or the date police and fire agreed?
No, I think...
I mean, police and municipal.
I'd need Bill to talk about the timing of when or when... The fire, go ahead.
Thank you. Bill Facente, Chief Staff. Fire started July 1st of this year. It did not go back to the original contract.
It didn't go back?
Did not.
To the original contract?
To the original contract date. It started July 1st of the year we're in.
Everything else in the original contract stayed the same. But the 2%
Correct.
That was supposed to be part of that contract
OPEB,
approval
yes.
didn't take place until July 1st.
Correct.
Interesting. And that would also have taken place with police and municipal as of July 1st?
Correct.
The unemployment compensation, what is the ratio for that?
That's
79.
Yeah, I don't have.
I'm sorry, never mind. That was back to another. Lynn, you can just send me that tomorrow.
We're self-insured for unemployment. So we don't have a percent for
unemployment compensation? Okay.
Yep.
All right, thank you. Mr. President, I do have one more question. So, Peter, with this 2% contribution from those three departments to OPEB, when would you predict that would actually reach a break-even point?
Well, first of all, you don't get the 2% until the third year because it's phased in over 3 years. So the amount, the offsetting amount will be larger next year than it is this year. But I don't think there's ever been any expectation that 2% would fully fund the OPEB liability. But it's offsetting,
okay.
reducing the amount that the city would have to put in.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Councilman Ricks.
Thank you. So when was it determined that the city's contribution to OPEB should be the $944,000 as opposed to the approximately $1.5 million.
You know, I'm sorry, I didn't say that you were gonna, and you have to ask the question again, I'm sorry.
It's okay. About when was it determined that the city should be contributing for this coming fiscal year the amount of $944,000 into OPEB as opposed to the amount of approximately $1.5 million?
Once the contracts were signed and ratified by the city council, including a change to the fire contract. So once we knew for certain that we were going to be collecting money, then we adjusted downward the amount that the city would be contributed. And that's, if you look at the fiscal notes from those three contracts, you'll see that that was one of the assumptions in the fiscal note.
Okay, that's just an item that was a little bit confusing to me, because I believe that the City Council ratified the contracts in January, and the presentation from Mr. Newton of GRS was prepared. The packet is dated March 10th, and the packet from Mr. Newton, the numbers, all the other numbers seem to line up more or less on the fiscal year 26.
I had not informed him about the contract change, so that we discussed it, and he knows we were planning on doing so.
Okay, so just to make absolutely certain, between the employee contributions and the city contributions, it gets us to that same number.
Yes.
That Mr. Newton was referring to. The idea is here to keep us on track.
Yes.
Okay. That's all for now. Thank you.
Do any other members of the council have anything for pensions? Do any members of the public have anything for pensions? Seeing none, we can move on to schools on page 46.
Mr. President, members of the council, thank you for the opportunity to speak with you tonight. I'm here to ask for your full support of the Warwick Public Schools proposed budget for fiscal year 2026. This budget request of $198 million is about keeping our schools running and making sure our kids get what they need to meet the basic educational requirements established by the Rhode Island Department of Education. As you know, we have experienced financial difficulties this past year. We have provided to the Rhode Island Auditor General, the City of Warwick's Budget Commission, City of Warwick, and to the Council the proposed FY26 city appropriation, and we've compared it to our school department recommended budget, and there is a variance. I want to thank the mayor for this evening making an adjustment to that appropriation. I appreciate it. It does make a difference. I will let you know all our internal efficiencies have been exhausted in this budget. We have approved reducing staff by 45 positions. We have reduced our non-staffing budget from the FY25 budget. We have the same challenges other city departments have. We have increases in health insurance premiums and funding of wage increases. Lack of school funding impacts our kids' futures, our neighborhoods, our property values, and the overall strength of our city. Warwick is at a turning point. To get there, one key element is to invest in our schools, not just in words, but in real dollars. Over the last several months, we've been transparent about our finances with the city, with the Rhode Island Auditor General, with the School Budget Commission. Our finances are an open book, and we have nothing to hide. We have answered all questions sent to us by the council president, individual council members, community members. We have spent hours meeting with budget commission members and recently provided to us to some members so they could see in person what's happening in our high cost programs. It's not just a number on a spreadsheet, but why it costs so much money. We've spent countless hours meeting with a small group of council members. I do want to thank Councilman Muto, Councilman Lattiser, Councilman Sinapi, Councilman Gephardt, for all the time you've put in meeting and discussing issues, making recommendations. It has helped us in supporting in the development of our FY26 budget. Since taking over the caretaker role as an interim superintendent, March 17th, we've prepared our FY26 budget. We've completed the FY24 audit, submitted a five-year deficit reduction plan to the Auditor General, calculated projections for FY25, evaluated grant funds and established new processes and procedures, and instituted new purchasing practices. We cooperated with the Budget Commission and the city to assure successful fiscal management of our schools. Mayor, I am thankful for the financial team in the city of Warwick. Both the city finance team in Warwick and in the schools have worked together. They've made the Budget Commission process seamless, and payments are being made to our vendors. Requisitions are getting processed, and I thank you for that. I did present to the city clerk a brief sheet with six slides. I know that you've gone over some of these slides in the past. One is the revenue sheet projection. Two of them I did not get to discuss the other night. I felt like I took a big swing, but I wasn't able to hit the ball because I wasn't able to discuss these two slides, and they have to relate to the deficit reduction plan based on the revenue projections. One plan was based upon what we're asking for and how we could possibly get out of deficit by FY29. The other projection would be based upon the allocation made in the initial appropriation, not what was readjusted this evening, and we still would be in deficit in FY29. I'd ask that you take a look at that just so that you can see the numbers. It's basic math, and it's just something I'd ask you to digest when considering voting on a budget on Thursday. I've summarized some of our expenses, and I can share this with you electronically. So some of you that are challenged with the eyesight, like Councilman Foley laughing at me right now, can see it in person. 95% of our expenses are fixed costs that we can't control. There's a very small portion that we have control over, and that's what funds the school programs. That's what provides the $10,000 to $11,000 to each elementary school, what provides the $110,000, $75,000 to the middle schools. If you look at it, the bulk of the money is targeted already. I will give you a flavor on what they consist of: legal, audit, contractual nurses, transportation, property and liability insurance, errors and omission insurance, tuition to other districts, tuition to private special education, tuition to ed services, tuition to charter schools, utilities, fuel, electricity, fleet insurance, natural gas, compensation and benefits. That represents 95.08% of our budget. Everything else remaining is a very small amount, just under $10 million. I know that you've had time to look at our budget. Do you have any questions this evening? I did try to answer all your questions. I believe I got them back to you. If you didn't receive them, let me know. I'll make sure you get them before Thursday.
Do any members of the council have any questions regarding the school department budget? Councilman Lattister.
Hello, Director. First off, I want to thank you for your prompt response and replies to my emails, questions, etc. Questions I have right now is this revenue sheet that I'm looking at now. It shows fiscal year 147,094,757 compared to the budget book that you gave us the other day of 144,994,757. And what drove that increase?
Can you repeat that again?
Sure. On city allocation and fiscal year 2026, and the budget book that you gave to us the other day, you were calling for the city allocation in fiscal year 2026 of $144,994,757.
Yep.
And in the sheet that was just passed out to us, it's showing the city allocation of 147,094,757. So what was the driver of that roughly $3 million increase?
What that had represented was there was a reduction, I believe, in the budget. It should have read 144,944,757.
It should have read what?
It should read 144,994,757. I believe we reduced that amount by $3 million. And what you're seeing there is you're seeing the revenue projection pre-school committee vote. What you'll see in the book is the post vote by the school committee, where it's 144,994,757. The total revenue was $198,162,060. And I believe I was reading that in my opening statement. That revenue sheet was the packet that was provided to the school committee prior to their vote, prior to making their adjustments. In that slide, that was a slide that I had used in the presentation to the school committee before they had voted and made an adjustment to that line. So that should be $3 million less.
The 200 should be $3 million less?
The city allocation, which you asked about, the 144.
That should be $3 million
yes.
less.
And then we made a reduction of $3,100,000. We added back, I believe, $1 million to the benefit area for pension. So there was an adjustment of, I believe it was $2.1 million as the school committee voted on back in April when they approved the budget.
So, Superintendent, we've had, as you said, we've had a lot of conversations along with the members of the school committee. And I've been pretty straightforward as to how I look at this particular financial situation that we have. And it still appears to me that the department is looking for the taxpayers to pick up the lion's share of this pain. I had made requests to yourself and the school committee about making approaches for considering reducing the 90 sick days to 10 and picking up the expense of the TDI for those teachers that don't get it. And I think the number came back with, you know, it's only a savings about 400,000, something of that nature. I also asked for consideration for 4 voluntary furlough days, 1 every quarter. And that didn't come to be.
Yep. It's part of the collective bargain agreement.
I understand
we could definitely, I would just try to say that we can keep your ideas and make it part of our next collective bargaining agreement. Furlough days are very difficult in a school environment where you need someone in front of the students. You know, if someone's not there, we still have to pay for a substitute to be in front of the kids. So it's tough to furlough people out during the school year.
Oh, I understand the expense of the substitutes. I see it in the budget lines about what I was just talking about, 90 sick days. And I've been talking about this since I got elected in 2012. In addition to that, I had suggested, had any discussions been made with opening up the contracts? The point I'm getting at is the lion's share of this financial crisis is being put on the back of the taxpayers. And I understand that we have teachers here in the city who are also taxpayers. I get it. But the lion's share of the taxpayers that are out there are not. And the concessions that are being made, they don't balance with what is being expected of the taxpayers. Now, the mayor increased this line item today by or up to $2,194,076. And I don't know if that's going to work for you. We have a financial crisis, and it's very troubling to me that the pain is being borne by the taxpayers. The lion's share of the pain is being borne by the taxpayers. And in addition to what has happened over the last 3 years, when budgets were filed as being balanced and weren't. Now we're being asked to support additional monies going forward. So that's my feelings on it. Should be no surprise to anyone in this room. I've been totally transparent and totally vocal about it. Been accused of disseminating false information and inaccurate information. Well, that seems to have proven to be otherwise. So that's where I am at this right now. I'll defer to my colleagues and see where it goes from here. Thank you.
Finish the question.
So I should have done this before, so I apologize. But Mayor, if you could speak briefly on your intent to allocate more than previously stated.
And Mayor, if you can do it slowly.
Slowly?
Do you have specific?
I'm doing basic math over here, so I just need a little slow.
We did the line items you wanted to change. You all got that correct? In the beginning?
I'm sorry?
I had the line items changed where the errors were made. We all got that?
No, actually, if you could repeat all of that.
Okay.
Well, the ones for school department, at least.
Yes.
Oh, the school department, that's just one line item. It's the school appropriation.
Yeah.
We changed it from initially it was $409,606, and we've added $1,785,140 to that, for a total revised school appropriation of $2,194,746.
Is that 746,
Matt? 746,
yeah. And as I said before, doing this, revising the appropriation, it does not alter our anticipated tax rate that we've been talking about, nor does it go into the fund balance. This was just money that was misappropriated in the first place. I get nervous when I see the solicitor going over there. Oh.
Thank you, Mayor.
Are there any questions on that? Okay, thank you.
All right, Councilman Ricks.
Thank you. So I don't expect that under all of the circumstances, including the existence of the School Budget Commission, you'd be able to answer this question this evening. But because the School Budget Commission is meeting on Wednesday, and I'm sure that there are going to be conversations ahead of the City Council vote on Thursday, what would be helpful for me is for us on the City Council to receive an email or the like on information on exactly what would be cut and really what wouldn't be cut as well. Those, especially those high-profile issues such as layoffs, whether they're members of the WTU or the WISE Union.
There'd be 20 WTU positions and 25 WISE member positions. The initial cuts would start off anything that's not required by the basic education plan by the Department of Education. I certainly can give you a list of items that aren't covered by the that aren't required by the basic education plan, and I'm more than happy to provide you a list with dollar amounts.
Thank you.
Do any of the members of the City Council, Councilman Napa?
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. Superintendent, are you intending that those layoffs, those 45 layoffs, be consistent through the entire school year, and that the layoffs are not on the surface until the school year starts and then we're hiring those back? Or are you going to go on record tonight to say that we are laying off and not hiring back those positions to end up in the same position that we were last year?
Those positions are reductions as a based on need and on student population. If we have 100 students move into the city the last week in August, and we have to open up a classroom or we have to add a few sections, and then we would have to address that as that comes up. Our enrollment isn't locked in like at a private school where you have to apply by May 1st and that's your number for the year. We have kids that leave our district and come back to our district. So it's all based upon where our numbers are at the start of the first day of school.
Okay.
Just but I would be pretty confident to say that most of the positions will not come back at this point.
Okay. I think the overarching theme throughout this entire process, through Budget Commission and hearing testimony from Teachers Union and Wise Union and public counsel, is that the intent is to protect the interests of the students. That said, is it your intent to, if budget cuts are further budget cuts are needed, is it your intent to cut from athletics first, or are those athletic and extracurricular activities that are vitally important to the students going to be protected this year?
The first thing we would do is look at any other efficiencies we could achieve. I have said publicly that we are looking at our healthcare cost and we are shopping around for healthcare. I would like to see what that savings would be first before we do any cuts. If we can achieve some efficiencies in healthcare, that would be great. And that if that can help us balance the budget by June 30th, that would be a priority. That wouldn't impact programming. People would have the same healthcare and it would just be a more efficient way to operate. After that, we would look at the basic education plan and see what we're required to fund. And we would rank what our priorities are as a community. And that's how we would make the decision based upon the priorities of the community and what's best for kids.
Okay. Thank you.
Councilman Foley.
Thank you. As you said, you don't have a lock-in date for your enrollment. No. Last year, enrollment increased by how much? Last year, so August of 2024.
I believe I sent in an enrollment.
Can you speak
I up? Believe I sent an enrollment sheet to the council president. If you could defer to that sheet, I don't want to be misquoted this evening. But there should be a enrollment sheets for all the schools, all the grades. I believe I sent it off yesterday. If you could take a look at that, that'll provide the information you're requesting.
I'm not trying to lock you in or, you know, but ballpark 100. 250.
I can get you that information tomorrow.
All right. Thank you.
But I can give you the data from June to September 1 so you can have that information.
Okay. Second question is, you must have a sense, at this time last year, there had to have been some type of anticipation how many teachers would be retiring. You don't know that for a fact. I understand that, but you have to have, when you sit down to do your budget, you have to have an idea in your head or in your mind how many teachers might retire.
We do.
So
yes.
Do you remember what that estimate was last year at this time?
I could defer it to our HR director. Give me a moment.